ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. సదాశివ సమారంభాం శంకరాచార్య మధ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్య పర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం సద్గురు చరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. బిఫోర్ ఐ వుడ్ స్టార్ట్ టుడేస్ బ్రహ్మసూత్ర లెక్చర్, ఐ వుడ్ ఆఫర్ మై స్పెషల్ నమస్కారంస్ టు స్వామి ఓంకారానంద, హూ attained Mahasamadhi yesterday in Madurai. Actually, I started to read Adhyasa Bhashyam of Brahma Sutra with him first in Strasbourg when he visited a few years ago. And since then, I used to call him and get many doubts clarified by discussing with him and also hearing his own lectures on Setter interpretations. It is a big personal loss to me, not only as a Swamiji of very high esteem in terms of his knowledge, both in Sanskrit, Vedic literature, the Bhagavad Gita, and many Tamil granthas, a person of outstanding compassion. And whenever I go to Chennai, I stay with him. And also when I go to Madurai also, I stay in his ashram. And he planned a lot of activities, including me, even in conducting the Kumbhabhishekam of Mata Bhuvaneshwari in Pudukottai, which was done on a Balalayam couple of years ago, and also the major Kumbhabhishekam on the all granite structure of the new temple to be done in February of 2023. Even during a recent conversation about 10 days ago with him, he told we both have to do that Kumbhabhishekam together, and I am looking forward to that. Anyway, it has become history now. జిజ్ఞాసాధికరణం అథాతో బ్రహ్మ జిజ్ఞాస జన్మాధ్యధికరణం జన్మాద్యస్యయత శాస్త్రయోనిత్వాధికరణం శాస్త్రయోనిత్వాత్ సమన్వయాధికరణం తత్తు సమన్వయాత్ ద్యువ్వాధ్యధికరణం. చాప్టర్ 1 థర్డ్ పాద. ద్యువ్వాత్యాయతనం స్వశబ్దాత్ ముక్తోపస్రప్య వ్యపదేశాత్ న అనుమానం అతచ్ఛబ్దాత్ ప్రాణభృచ్ఛ భేదవ్యపదేశాత్ ప్రకరణాత్ స్థిత్యదనాభ్యాం చ భూమాధికరణం భూమా సంప్రసాదాత్ అత్యుపదేశాత్ ధర్మోపపత్తేశ్చ అక్షరాధికరణం అక్షరమంబరాంతధృతే సాచ ప్రశాసనాత్. వి హ్యావ్ బీన్ సీయింగ్ దిస్ 11th సూత్ర ఆఫ్ ది థర్డ్ పాద ఆఫ్ ఫస్ట్ చాప్టర్, ది 74th సూత్ర ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మసూత్ర. వి విల్ డూ ది జనరల్ అనాలిసిస్ ఫస్ట్. ఇన్ ది ప్రీవియస్ సూత్ర, నేమ్లీ అక్షరం అంబరాంతధృతే, ఇట్ వాస్ సెట్ that aksharam is brahman because it is sarva aadharaha. And when this was said, the sankhya philosopher, he argues that being sarva aadhara, aksharam cannot be an alphabetic letter including omkara, but he says why should you take it as paramatma when my pradhanam is prakriti. Sankhya's prakriti or pradhanam is qualified for that status. And in Sankhya philosophy, pradhanam is moola prakriti, basic matter. Sometimes he calls prakriti, sometimes he calls it as avyaktam. And our Vedantic equivalent to pradhanam, as I have mentioned earlier, is maya. But he will not use the word maya. But for our information, pradhanam, we will take it as maya, basic matter. Because this basic matter is Sarva Adharaha, since ultimately the whole creation is born out of this basic matter only and ultimately resolves into this basic matter. Avyakta atyaktaya sarvaha prabhavantyah ragame ratriyagame praliyante tatraiva vyakta sanyake. Krishna said. So the whole creation comes out of avyaktam and goes back into avyaktam, which is pradhanam, the prakriti, and therefore this sutra is to be understood as aksharam pradhanam ambarantha dhritehe. That is his argument. Because it is with the support of everything up to akasha. Here the controversy is between Vedantin and Sankhya. And the Sankhya says Sarva Adharam is Pradhanam, and Vedantin says Sarva Adharam is Brahman. Now Vyasacharya has to negate Pradhanam. So this second sutra is negation of Pradhanam. And Vyasacharya has to show that Sarva Adharam, Aksharam cannot be and is not Pradhanam. What is the reason? It is Prashasanath. That is the approach of this sutra, the previous sutra that we have seen already. So the reason that Vyasacharya takes from the Upanishad itself, he does not use logic and all that. What is the Upanishad he takes for his support? There is a mantra occurring later in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, 3rd chapter, 8th section, 9th mantra. And now what we are studying? We are studying the 8th mantra of the same chapter, same section of Brihadaranyaka. So in the 8th mantra, we find that Aksharam is defined as Sarva Adharaha. And in the 9th mantra of the Upanishad says, Yetasya Vam Aksharasya Prashasane Gargi Surya Chandramasau Vidrutau Tishtata. Yetasya Va Aksharasya Prashasane Gargi Dhyava Prithivyau Vidrute Tishtata. Yetasya Va Aksharasya Prashasane Gargi Nimesha Muhurta Ahoratradim Ardhamasa Masa Ritavaha Samvatsara Iti Vidrutas Tishtanti. Yetasya Va Aksharasya Prashasane Gargi Prachonya Nadyaha Syandante Shvetebhyaha Parvatebhyaha Pratichyantaha Pratichyanyaha Yam Yam Chem Dishanu Dishanu Yetasya Va Aksharasya Prashasane Gargim Dadato Manushyaha Prashamsanti Yajamanam Devaha Tarvi Pitaron Vayattaha Anvayattaha. This mantra we have seen also earlier. In all of them, the word repeated is what? Yetasya Va Aksharasya Prashasane. This is conversation between, dialogue between Yajnavalkya and Gargi. So this context and all I have already mentioned earlier. So the emphasis is on the word Prashasanam that Vyasacharya holds on to. And Prashasanam means what? A commandment or a governance, a rule. Shas means to rule, govern. And Prashasana means ruling, government, commandment. Therefore, it means because of the commandment of Aksharam alone, the world is maintaining its order. Just as the people maintain the traffic order only because of the policing of the government. In fact, Prashasanam can be taken as policing also perhaps. Because we may be familiar with that. Now, Vyasacharya asks, Prashasanam or commandment can be done by Chetanam or Achetanam. In fact, somewhere else the Upanishad uses the word Mahadbhayam Vajram Udyatam. The ruling is done not by local weapons, but policing is done by Vajrayudam, Vajram. Therefore, now Prashasanam belongs to Chetana Tattvam, which is Paramatma. Achetana Prakriti can never rule the world. Therefore, Aksharam is not Pradhana. That is the argument. And because of the Upanishadic usage of the ruling or commandment, that is the reason Vyasacharya gives. And this is the function of only Chetana Tattvam. This is the general analysis of this sutra. Now let us go to word analysis. The sutra consists of three words, What are the three words? Sa, cha, and prashasanat. We have to supply a word, brahma karma. It's a compound word. Therefore, sa, brahma karma, prashasanat, that will be the word. Now we'll see the meaning of the word separately. Sa, sa is a pronoun, that. And in this context, it is ambarantha dhritihi of the previous mantra, sutra, which means supporting or holding the whole universe together. Ambarantha dhritihi. So sarva adharatva means sustenance of the universe, the entire world is the meaning of the word sa. And then we have to come to the supplied word, brahma karma. We supplied this word to complete the sutra, brahma karma. Brahma karma means the function of brahma. Therefore, joining both the words, the meaning will be sa brahma karma. Sa is the paksha and brahma karma is sadhyam. All those definitions we have in earlier. So that sustenance of the entire world is the function of brahman alone and not the function of pradhanam. And why do we say so? Next word, prashasanat. So prashasana shravanat, prashasana shravanat, because of the Upanishadic usage. What means usage? Usage of the word commandment or the word governance or the ruling, because of that. And how does the usage of the word commandment support our conclusion? That we have to understand. Vyasacharya does not say that. Once the word commandment, ruling, etc. are used, it can refer only to a chetana tattvam. A jada tattvam cannot rule. No jada tattvam can command. Therefore, the final meaning of the sutra will be the sustenance of the world is the function of Paramatma only because of the usage of the word commandment. And after reading the sutra, then now we have to go back to the previous sutra. Since the sustenance is possible only by Paramatma, the Aksharam, which is the sustainer of the world, it has to be Paramatma only, and Aksharam cannot be Pradhanam or Prakriti Jada Tattva. So we have to now go back to the Akshara topic. Tasmat. Tasmat means therefore, Aksharam na Pradhanam, Aksharam Brahmaiva. Aksharam is only Brahman, it is not Pradhan. So we have talked about the word sa, then brahma karma, that's the word that we supplied, and the word prashasana. Now let us come to the word cha. Shankaracharya does not comment anything on this word. But sub-commentators, they say cha indicates another reason in addition to the one given by Vyasacharya himself in the sutra. His reasoning is simply Shruti support and does not use any logic. But the sub-commentators, they say that the reason is based on logic and not mere Shruti alone. This is very ingenious and a very nice argument given by sub-commentators. Actually, the person who did this is called Ratna Prabhakara. What is the essence of the sutra? The essence of the sutra is sustenance of everything up to Akasha is the function of Brahman, up to important. Sustenance of everything up to Akasha is the function of Brahman and not of Pradhanam. That is what we want to say here. That means Pradhanam is not the sustainer of everything up to Ambaram. Ambaram means Akasha. Why do we say so? Here the sub-commentators ask the question, what do you mean by the word Ambaram or Akasha, which is included in Ambaram? And we said in this context, Akasha does not mean the Bhuta Akasha, but Ambaram or Akasha means Avyakrita Akasha, Avyaktam. And this Avyaktam is itself called Pradhanam in Sankhya philosophy, as I told you earlier. Avyaktam, Maya, they are all called Pradhanam in Sankhya. That means we talk about the support of everything up to Akasha. That means up to Avyakritam, up to Avyaktam, up to Pradhanam itself also. Therefore, Ambarantha Dhritihi means Pradhana Dhritihi is also included. When we talk about the support of Pradhanam, and support of Pradhanam cannot be by Pradhanam itself, for Pradhanam is supported. We talk about the supporter and we are not talking about the supported pradhana. Pradhanasya adeya antargatatvat. Pradhanam is supported. And we are not talking about the supported pradhanam, but we are talking about the supporter. And therefore, the supporter aksharam has got to be pradhana bhinnam brahma alone. Different from the pradhanam, which is brahman only. Therefore, sarvadharam aksharam na pradhanam pradhanasya adheyatvat. Pradhanam being the supporter. And incidentally, there is another point also. Vyasacharya does not give this reason directly. But indirectly he gives. How? Through the chakara, that cha. And that means because of this reason also. So with this, the second sutra is over. Now let us go to the third sutra of this adhikaran, akshara adhikaran. Anya bhavam vyavrutteshcha. Anya bhava vyavrutteshcha, 12th sutra of third pada, 75th running number of Brahma Sutra. As usual, let us do the general analysis first. And in this sutra also, Vyasacharya says, this sarvadharam aksharam is not pradhanam. And what is the reason? Pradhanam and all, when you use the word, you should immediately think of the Sankhya philosophy and all, Pratiti and all that. And equivalent in Vedanta is Maya. And what is the reason? He says, again by quoting another Upanishad mantra, through Shruti Pramana, Upanishad mantra means through Shruti Pramana, quoting the Vedas itself. He says, pradhana has been negated indirectly in a later mantra. How? The mantra taken here is the 11th mantra, 3rd chapter, 8th section, 11th mantra, Brahadaranyaka itself. That gives further description of Akshara. And what is the description it gives? Tadva etadaksharam gargi adrishtam drashtru ashrutam shrotru amatam mantru avijnatam vijnatru nanya dadosti drashtru nanya dadosti shrotru nanya dadosti mantru nanya dadosti vijnatru etasminnu kalu akshare gargi akashaha otascha protascheti. All these mantras we have done in great detail during those lectures. Here Yajnavalkya says, Akshara, the Sarvadhara Aksharam, is never seen, but ever it is the seer. Edad Aksharam Adrishtam, it is never seen, Drashtra, it is always seen. It always sees the seer. It is never heard, Ashrutam, but Shrotra, hearer of everything. It is never the thought, but ever the thinker. It is never known. It is ever the knower. So if you want to condense all of them, we can say Aksharam is ever the experiencer and never the experienced. Why are we saying all this? Once we know this tale of Brahma Sutra, we will know the method of arguments also. Now, our question is what? Whether Aksharam is Chetanam Brahma or Achetanam Pradhanam. Chetanam, Achetanam, Jadam, all that we know. Here in this mantra, Aksharam is presented as ever the experiencer. And it can be only Chetanam Brahma and Achetanam Pradhanam can never be Drashtra, Shrotra, Mantra, Vijnatra. It cannot. It can be Adrishtam, Ashrutam. Maybe that can all fit in perhaps. Not a hearer, not a seer. Jadam cannot see, cannot hear. But never drashtra, the seer, shrotra, hearer, all that it can never fit. Therefore, what is the argument in this sutra now? Shruti itself negates pradhana. That is, it negates the property of pradhana. When it says negates pradhanam, it negates the property of pradhanam, which is inertness. Not directly, but it talks about sentiency here. And by talking about sentiency, it negates insentiency. And by negating insentiency, it negates the property of pradhanam. And by negating the property of pradhanam, it negates pradhanam itself. This is the approach. So this is the general analysis of this sutra. Now we will see the word analysis. There are two words in this sutra. What are the two words? Anya bhava vyavrittehe is one compound word, and cha. And we have to supply three words, namely aksharam na pradana. Three words, aksharam na pradana. Then how will this sutra will read completely now? Aksharam na pradhanam anya bhava vyavrittehe cha. Aksharam na pradhanam anya bhava vyavrittehe cha. So let us take one by one for the analysis. And the first, let us take the supplied words. Aksharam. Aksharam means what? The aksharam mentioned in the third chapter, eighth mantra of Brihadaranyaka. That we already read it also. Saho vacham etadvai tat aksharam gargim brahmana advedanti astulam ananvakhrasvam ananu akhrasvam adirgam alohitam asneham achayam atamaham avayuhum anakasham asangam achakshushkam ashrotram avak amanaham atejaskam apranam amukham amatram anantaram abahyam na tadashnati kinchana na tadashnati kaschana. It gives 23 properties in this particular mantra and negates all of them. So etadvai tad aksharam garhi brahmana abhivadanti astulam. It is not stulam. Ananu, akhrasvam, adirgam. When you put the A, it is opposite. So that aksharam occurring in the third chapter, eighth section, eighth mantra of Brihadaranyaka is na pradhanam. It is not pradhanam. Basic matter of whom? Sankhyas. Up to this is supplied words. So we have seen aksharam, na pradhanam, three supplied words we have already seen. We just saw. Then we come to the words in the sutra, original words. Anya bhava vyavrittehe is one word. It's a compound word. It itself consists of three words, namely anya bhava vyavrittehe. And anya means the other one. Since we want to establish Brahman here, the other one is other than Brahman. Namely, what is here in this context? It is pradhanam or prakriti. Then bhavaha. Bhavaha means attributes, the properties of pradhanam. Again, this means achetanatvam dharmaha. The property here is the jadatvam. Pradhanam is jada, jadavastu. Then vyavrittehe means being negated, nishedat. So by the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad Vakyam of third chapter, eighth section, 11th sutra, 11th mantra, the pradhana dharma achetanatvam is negated. Not directly, but indirectly. That is, if aksharam is seer, hearer, thinker, and all that, it must be an experiencer. Therefore, it must be a conscious being. And therefore, achetanatvam is negated, taken for granted. Therefore, anya bhava vyavrittehe means, since the property of pradhanam, namely inertness, jadatvam, is negated by the Shruti Vakyam of 3.8.11 of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the aksharam cannot be taken as pradhanam. Anya bhavasya vyavrittihi. Again, it's all Shashti Tatpurusha. So anyasya bhavaha, anya bhavaha, anya bhavasya. So achetanatvasya vyavrittihi. Anya bhava vyavrittihi. So that is also Shashti Tatpurusha, also samasa. But anyway, don't worry about it. So next word is what? Cha. Cha means it is a simple conjunction only, and it adds the previous reason when we say and, which was prashasanat, because aksharam is the governor. That is the reason one, controller, commandment. And the second reason is also because the inertness is negated by Shruti. Since two reasons are given, they are combined by the word cha. This and, governor, and it is not inert. With this, the word analysis is also over. Here, Shankaracharya adds another note in his Bhashya, which can be taken as the extension of the word cha. And what is that? We negate another possible Purva Pakshi also here. And what is that? If you take ది మంత్రా 3.8.11 ఆఫ్ బృహదారణ్యక ఉపనిషత్. అక్షరం ఈస్ డిఫైన్డ్ అస్ సీయర్, థింకర్, నోవర్ అండ్ ఆల్ దట్. వి జస్ట్ రెడ్ దట్ మంత్ర. దర్ఫోర్ దీస్ వర్డ్స్ ఇండికేట్ దట్ అక్షరం ఈస్ నాట్ ప్రధానం, బట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ చేతనం. నౌ ద పూర్వపక్షి మే ఆర్గ్యూ అక్షరం ఈస్ అ చేతన తత్వం దట్ ఈస్ ఎస్టాబ్లిష్డ్, బట్ ద చేతన తత్వం మే బి ఎయిదర్ జీవాత్మ ఆర్ పరమాత్మ. కదా బోత్ ఆర్ చేతన తత్వం ఓన్లీ, డోంట్ గో టు ప్రధానం. ఇట్ కెన్ బి జీవాత్మ ఆర్ పరమాత్మ. వై డూ యూ టేక్ ఇట్ ఓన్లీ యాజ్ పరమాత్మ? ఐ వై నాట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ జీవాత్మ? దట్ ఈస్ పూర్వపక్షిస్ క్వశ్చన్. సో ఫర్ ద జీవాత్మ పూర్వపక్షి ఆల్సో ది సేమ్ సూత్ర కెన్ గివ్ ది ఆన్సర్. దిస్ ఈస్ ఇండికేటెడ్ బై ద వర్డ్ చ. దట్ మీన్స్ రీడ్ ద సూత్ర ట్వైస్. ఫస్ట్ టైం వీ స్టడీ ద సూత్ర అండ్ నెగేట్ ప్రధానం, అండ్ సెకండ్ టైం వీ స్టడీ ద సేమ్ సూత్ర అండ్ నెగేట్ జీవాత్మ. సో హౌ డస్ ద సూత్ర ఆన్సర్ ద క్వశ్చన్ నౌ? ఇట్ సేస్ అన్యభావ వ్యావృత్తేశ్చ. Here the word anya, anya should not be taken as pradhanam because we have already answered pradhanam earlier when we read it first time. Therefore, anya should not be taken as jivatma. Therefore, anya bhava vyavrutteshya means because the jivatma's properties are also negated by the shruti. Then the next question is, where does the shruti negate jivatma dharma? You can just say it is negated, but where does it negate the jivatma dharma? What is the jivatma dharma that is negated? It is negated, already we have seen this in mantra 3.8.8 of Brahadaranyaka itself. Astulam ananu ahrasvam adirgam alohitam asneham achayam atamaham avayu anakasham asangam arasam agandam achakshushkam ashrotram avak amanaham atejaskam apranam amukham amatram anantaram abahyam నదతశ్నాది కించన నదతశ్నాది కశ్చన. ఇట్ డిఫైన్స్ అక్షరం యాజ్ వితౌట్ ఎనీ సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్, నో ఐస్, నో ఇయర్స్, నో మైండ్, నో ప్రాణ, నో ముఖం. దెర్ఫోర్ జీవాత్మ ఈస్ ఎండోడ్ విత్ ఆల్ దీస్ ఆర్గన్స్. ద వెరీ డెఫినేషన్ ఆఫ్ జీవా ఇస్ వాట్? జీవ్. జీవ్ మీన్స్ వాట్? ప్రాణధారణే, వన్ హూ ఈస్ హోల్డింగ్ ప్రాణ. సో వీఆర్ ఆల్ ప్రాణీస్. Therefore, Jivatma is endowed with all sense organs. Whereas Aksharam, the Upanishad says, is free from all sense organs. And therefore, Akshara must be taken as Shariratrayasya Rahita Paramatma alone. Not Shariratraya Sahita Jivatma. Therefore, Anyabhava Vyavruttescha means that the Shruti negates both Pradhanam and Jivatma, and hence Aksharam is Brahman or Paramatma only. So with this, now the third Adhikaranam is also over. Now before we go to the next Adhikaranam, let us see the summary of this Adhikaranam. So what is our capsule for summarizing Adhikaranam's conclusion? If you remember the five factors, there are five factors: Vishayaha, Samshayaha, Purvapakshaha, Siddhanta and Sangati. All those have to be seen now. So what is the first factor? First factor is Vishayaha. Vishayaha means subject matter. So the word Aksharam occurring in Brahadaranyaka Upanishad Mantra 3.8.8, namely Etadvai Tadaksharam Gargi Brahmanaha Abhivadanti etc. That mantra that we just read. And that section in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is called Akshara Brahmanam. If you remember those things, all those who attended those lectures, it is called Akshara Brahmanam. And this is the Vishayavakyam, this is the subject matter. And next factor is Samshayaha. Samshayaha means the doubt. What is the controversy here? Whether the word Akshara means this Omkara syllable, or Pradhanam, or Jivatma, or Paramatma. Whether it is the syllable Omkara, or Pradhanam, or is it Jivatma, or Paramatma. And what does the Purvapakshi say, Purvapaksha? He gives all wrong views as usual. First, the Purvapakshi says, it is Omkara, the syllable, Pranava, because that is the primary meaning of the word Akshara. So we always take the primary meaning. So Omkara is the primary meaning for that, for Akshara. And the second Purvapakshi, he says, it is Pradhana because Aksharam is presented as the substratum, the support of the whole universe, and Pradhanam is substratum being the material cause of the universe. That is the second Purvapakshi. And the third Purvapakshi says, Aksharam is Jivatma only. Because Upanishad says what? Tadvam, etad aksharam, drashtru, shrotru, mantru, vijnatru. It is said to be seer, hearer, thinker, and all that. And that can be only Jivatma. This is the Purvapakshi. With this, the Purvapakshi is over. Now, what the Siddhanta says, our conclusion, it is Aksharam, Paramatma alone. Because the description of Aksharam tallies with Paramatma alone. And what are the main three descriptions of Aksharam? Number one, it is the substratum, since it is the ruler, and it is without organs. Since it is said to be substratum, the support, Omkara syllable is ruled out. It cannot be support of the universe. Because it is said to be the ruler, the Pradhanam is also ruler, because Pradhanam is Jada. It cannot be ruled. It cannot be ruler. And since it is said that it is without organs, Jivatma is ruled out. Because Jivatma is, he is having all the organs. All these shloka mantras we just read. So Paramatma alone has got all the three attributes. Therefore, Aksharam Brahmaiva. Aksharam should be Brahman only. And the third mantra of the eighth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Akshara Brahma Yoga. It is called Akshara Brahma Yoga itself. It supports all Siddhanti's views. Aksharam Brahma Paramam Swabhavodhyatma Muchyate Bhuta Bhavodbhavakaraha Visarga Karma Sangitaha. Third shloka of the eighth chapter of Akshara Brahma Yoga. So Aksharam is Brahman in this shloka. So with this, it is also established that Aksharam is Brahman. With this, the fourth item also is over, namely the Siddhanta. Siddhanta's view in the analysis. And the final factor is what? Is Sangatihi. And we have already told Sangati is a being a technical word. We will only say here, this sutra is placed in the appropriate place only. So it is okay. With this, the third adhikaranam is also over. Not only this sutra, this adhikaranam is also placed in the right place only. That means what? In the third pada of the first chapter, before the fourth ikshati karma adhikaranam, and also after the next second adhikaranam. Now, with this, the third adhikaranam is over. Now let us go to the fourth adhikaranam. Fourth adhikaranam is called ikshati karma vyapadeshadhikaranam. Ikshati karma vyapadeshadhikaranam. And the first sutra is ikshati karma vyapadeshatsaha. Ikshati karma vyapadeshatsaha. Vyapadeshatsaha. This is the first 13th sutra of third pada, first chapter, 76th running number for the Brahma Sutra. 76th sutra of Brahma Sutra. And this is the fourth adhikaranam, means each adhikaranam I have mentioned already, it is a topic, fourth topic. First we will see of this particular pada, third pada. First let us see the general analysis as usual. And also we will give a general introduction to the whole adhikaranam first. It is a very small adhikaranam with only one sutra. We had such adhikaranam earlier. This is the small adhikaranam with only one sutra. And it is known as Ikshati Karma Adhikaranam. Because the sutra begins with the ikshati karma vyapadeshat. First sutra, this is the only sutra that begins with the word ikshati karma vyapadeshat. So it is called ikshati karma adhikaranam. And the statement analyzed in this adhikaranam is what? It's a vakyam occurring in Prashnopanishad. Another Upanishad, among the 10 Upanishads, called the Prashnopanishad. And what is that vakyam? It says, Yaha punaretam trimatrena omityete naiva aksharena param purusham abhidhyayita satyajasi surye sampannaha yata padodaraha त्वचां विनिर्मुच्यते एवं ह वै स पाप्मना विनिर्मुक्तः स सामभिर् उन्नीयते ब्रह्मलोकम् स एतस्मात् जीवघनात् परात्परं पुरिशयं पुरुषं ईक्षते तदेतौ श्लोकौ भवतः. This is the mantra occurring in Prashnopanishad, fifth chapter, fifth mantra. And this mantra is going to be analyzed here. Now, what is the background of this mantra? The gist of this mantra? Then we will know where the problem would lie. Prashnopanishad is called so because there are six disciples. They come with one question. The question is called Prashna. So to one guru called Pippalada. So there are six disciples, but one guru. All of them go to this one guru, Pippalada Rishi, who answers the six questions asked by them. In fact, there are not just six questions, because some disciples ask actually a bunch of questions also. And some others ask only one question. And because the students are six, we say six Prashnas. Now let us deal with the fifth Prashna asked by Satyakama. That is the subject here. Therefore, the fifth section is Satyakama Pippaladam Samvadaha, the dialogue between Satyakama, the disciple, and Pippalada, the guru. Here the student asks about Omkara. And what is the question? Is given in the 5.1 mantra, fifth chapter, first mantra. Sayoha vai tat bhagavanne manushyeshu prayanantam omkaram abhidhyayita katamam vavasate nalokam jayati. Hey guru, please talk about the omkara upasana, omkara dhyanam. This was the student asked Satyakama, and Pippalada guru answers and says, first Omkara can stand for both. First answer, Nirgunam Brahman and Sagunam Brahman, Param Brahma and Aparam Brahma, Nirupadikam Brahma and Sopadikam Brahma, both Karanam Brahma and Karyam Brahma. I use all these words now because whenever we use all these words, I want you to know that they are synonyms. Thus, Omkara is a beautiful symbol which stands for Para and Apara Brahma, and Para Brahma is called Paramatma, and Apara Brahma is generally called Hiranyagarbha. Thus, Omkara can stand for both Hiranyagarbha and Paramatma. Etadvai Satyakama Paramcha Aparancha Brahma Yadomkaraha Tasmat Vidvan Yete Na Yeva Ayatanena Ekataram Anveti. That is the second mantra of the fifth chapter of Prashnopanishad. Etad vai Satyakama, he Satyakama, etad. Etad means what? Omkarakyam Aksharam Yeva, Param Brahma, Aparancha. Same thing we get in Kathopanishad also. It is both Param Brahma and Aparam also. In Kathopanishad also, we have seen the similar mantra. Etadyo vaksharam brahmam, etadyo vaksharam param, etadyo vaksharam yatvam, brahmaloke mahiyate. Etadalambanagum sreshtam, etadalambanagum param, etadalambanam yatvam, yoyadichati, tasyatate. First chapter, second section, 16th mantra of Kathopanishad. Thus, Omkara represents Hiranyagarbha as well as Paramatma also. And thereafterwards, Pippalada talks about Omkara Upasana. And initially, he talks about Akara Pradhana Omkara Upasana. As you know, Omkara is supposed to be a combination of three letters. Akara, Ukara, Makara. So Akara Pradhana Omkara Upasana, he first talks about Pippalada. Then Akara Ukara Pradhana Omkara Upasana. Akaram and Ukaram together. So Akara alone, Akaram and Ukaram together, another Upasana. Therefore, in the first Upasana, Akara alone is highlighted. And the second upasana, akara and ukara are highlighted. That is partial omkara upasana only, both of them. Whereas in the third upasana, all the three letters, akara, ukara, makara, all three are highlighted. In fact, the first two upasanas are secondary upasanas only, and they are not important. And the third upasana alone is important, where omkara is fully taken, comprising of all the three letters, akara, ukara, makara. That full omkara upasana is given in the fifth mantra of this Upanishad that we are going to analyze. Yaha punaretam trimatrena. The mantra, just I said, I'm now giving some meaning of the some of the words, some of the sentences. Yaha punaretam trimatrena. All three matras means all the letters here, a, u, and ma, akara, ukara, makara. Omityetenaiva aksharam. One who takes omkara fully, and through that omkara, param purusham abhidyayita. One should do para purusha upasana. Through what? The trimatra omkara. Omkara consisting of all the three letters, akara, ukara, makara. So one should practice para purusha upasana through omkara. That's what the teacher says. So this line is the line of inquiry here. Param purusham abhidyayita. That's what the Upanishad says. That is now debated. One should meditate upon parapurusha in the form of omkara. That's what the statement is. Therefore, our question is going to be what? That is going to come later. What is meant by parapurusha? That is the controversy. But we will complete the mantra and we will take parapurusha as paramatma alone, which we are going to establish later. Therefore, one should meditate upon parapurusha, that is paramatma, in the form of omkara. And what will happen to that person? He will get jivan mukti. Certainly not jivan mukti, because he is doing only upasana. Will he get jivan mukti? No, because he is doing upasana only yet, and not paramatma jnanam. He does not have yet. He still does upasana only. He only says omkara rupena paramatma upasana. Therefore, he will not get mukti, jivan mukti here in this janma. But what will happen to him after maranam? Saha tejasi surye sampannaha. That's what the mantra says. Saha tejasi surye sampannaha. The upasaka will become one with surya devata. Through shukla gati and all, we should understand all that. What is that thing? Hiranmayena patrena satyasyapihitam mukham tatvam pushan apavrunom satya dharmaya drishtaye. So as we saw in the Ishavasi Upanishad, this is a mantra from Ishavasi Upanishad, 15th mantra, Hiranmayena patrena. I have quoted this mantra in a discussion earlier also. Hiranmayena patrena satyasyapihitam mukham tatvam Pushanna pavranum satya dharmaya drishtaye. That is a mantra. So the Surya Mandala is the place through which the upasaka will go through. Therefore, first he will become one with Surya Devata. And yata padodaraha tvacham vinirmuchyate evam havai sa papmana vinirmuktaha. That is the mantra we read now. Not from Ishavasya, from the other mantra. So as a result of this upasana, he will become free from all papams. Papmana virmuktaha. He will get tremendous purity. And an example is also given for that. What is the example? Just as the snake gets separated from its skin. Padodaraha means snake. Padaha udaraha eva. Yes, yes, aha. So that for which the chest, the front portion of the body, that itself is the feet. So any reptile can be called padodaraha. Here it is snake. It does not have a separate feet. And what does the snake do? Tvacha vinirmuchyate. it becomes free from its skin. Like that, this Upasaka also casts off all the papas, papa skin, and he becomes pure. And then what happens to him? Saha samabir unniyate brahmalokam. This Omkara Upasaka is taken to Brahmaloka by various devatas. And among those devatas, one set of devatas are called Samaveda Devataha. Samabihim Unniyate. So for every Veda, there is a separate devata. For the first Upasana, Akara Upasana alone, Rigveda Devatas will take him. Tam Richo Manushya Lokam Upanayante. That is what is given in that shloka. Manushya Lokam. And for the second Upasana, that is Yajurveda, the Devatas, they will take him. Akara Ukara Upasana, Yajurveda Devatas will take. Sontariksham Yajurbihim Unniyate Somalokam. The previous one to Manushya Lokam, this is another one, Somalokam. And for this Purna Omkara Upasana, the Samaveda Devatas, along with other Devatas, will take him to Brahmaloka. And there, what will happen in Brahmaloka? Saham Samabihim Unniyate Brahmalokam. He will attain Brahmajis. All these Tuesday, Wednesday classes will be taught by Brahmaji himself, the original teacher. And he can take actually four classes simultaneously because Chaturmukha Brahma, he has four mouths. He can teach four classes simultaneously. And as a result of Brahmaji's teaching, what will happen? Saham yetasmat jivaganat paratparam purishem purusham ikshate. Saha yetasmat jivaganat paratparam purishayam purusham ikshate. He will know the param purusham. He practices Parapurusha Upasana in Brahmaloka. He will come to know the Parapurusha. He practiced Paramatma Upasana in Brahmaloka. So he will come to know the Paramatma. And that Paramatma Jnanam will give what? Moksha. Therefore, what is the gist of the mantra now? According to our interpretation, Purvapakshi is going to interpret funnily. That we'll see. According to us, Omkara Rupena Paramatma Upasanaya Brahmaloke Paramatma Jnanam Bhavati Muktaha Bhavati, which Mukti is called Krama Mukti. We have seen all these words. They are all familiar to us. Jivan Mukti in this Janma itself, Krama Mukti is after this Janma is over, one goes through Shuklagati, Shuklagati to Brahmalokam, there he gains Jnanam and gains Moksha. That is called Krama Mukti. So this is the essence of this mantra. Now incidentally, a doubt might come. Here we say, the Upasaka practices Paramatma Upasana and then in Brahmaloka, he will get Paramatma Jnanam. This may create a doubt. Namely, if you say, while practicing Paramatma Upasana here, he does not have Paramatma Jnanam, then what can be the question? Without having Paramatma Jnanam, how can he practice Paramatma Upasana? Like what? For example, I say, I meditate upon Ishvara. And you ask me, who is Ishvara? And I say, I don't know Ishvara. Then how can I meditate upon Ishvara without knowing what that Ishvara is? The answer is, this Upasaka does not know Paramatma fully. He has got only the Paroksha Jnanam of Paramatma as Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam and all that. And he does not even know Paramatma is myself. What does he do? The unknown Paramatma, he invokes in known Omkara. That is the unknown Paramatma, which is known only indirectly. That is Jagat Karanam, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam and all that. That he invokes on Omkara. Therefore, what he really practices is only Omkara Upasana alone. What he has done is, upon Omkara, he has invoked Paramatma. And that is why we should say Paramatma Rupena Omkara Upasana it is, or Omkara Rupena Paramatma Upasana. Even though he does not know Paramatma clearly, he knows what is Omkara. This is exactly like what? Worshipping Shiva or Vishnu on a stone or solid rock, which is solidly known to me. I have not seen either Shiva or Vishnu. But that unknown, unexperienced Vishnu, I invoke upon a solid ground, which is solidly known to me. Therefore, Paramatma is unknown, all right? But he knows Omkara. Therefore, what is the gist of this mantra again? Omkara rupena Paramatma upasanayam Brahma loke Paramatma jnanam tena muktihi, which is called Krama Mukti. So, Omkara rupena, by doing Paramatma upasana through Omkara, Omkara in the form of Omkara, in Brahma lokam, Brahma jnanam he gains, and because of that he gains Mukti, that is called Krama Mukti. This is the Prashnopanishad Vyakhyanam. And what is the controversy here? Controversy is, the Upanishad says, Omkara rupena param purusham dhyayita. That is what the mantra said. Prashnopanishad, when we read it, this sentence, if you remember, Omkara rupena param purusham dhyayita. May you meditate upon Parapurusha in the form of Omkara. That's what the teacher said. Since the word Purusha is a very, very vague word, which can be used for anything, including an ordinary male, Purusha, a male being onwards, which is the Sharira Pradhanam. Therefore, the question is, what does Parapurusha mean? And the Purupakshi says, Parapurusha stands for Hiranyagarbha only, because Omkara can happily stand for Hiranyagarbha also. So I would like to take Parapurusha as Hiranyagarbha. Whereas Siddhanti is going to say that Parapurusha represents Paramatma, Brahman alone, and it is not Hiranyagarbha. Therefore, according to Purvapakshi, Hiranyagarbha Dhyanam is produced, he is prescribed here. Whereas according to Siddhanti, Ishvara Jnanam is prescribed here in this mantra. So until now, we have seen general introduction. Now we will see the general analysis of the sutra. And in this sutra, Vyasacharya says, the Parapurusha, which is the object of meditation, is Paramatma only. Dheyaha Parapurushaha Paramatma Eva. Katam Dheyaha, how it is meditated? Omkara Rupena Dheyaha. Not Hiranyagarbha. So what is the proof that he is going to give here? The proof is taken from the same mantra itself. The controversy is the first part of the mantra, and the proof is in the final part of the same mantra. What is the final part of the same mantra? It gives dhyana palam, the upasana palam. The palavakya we are taking as the support for our conclusion, Siddhanti's conclusion. What is the palavakyam here? Saha etasmat jiva ghanat parat param purishayam purusham ikshate. In this mantra, this is the palavakya, the later part of the mantra. Saha etasmat jiva ghanat parat param purishayam purusham ikshate. This is our support. And what is the gist of this mantra now? The palam of this meditation is paramatma ikshanam or paramatma jnanam. Ikshate means jnanati. Paramatma jnanam is the palam. From this we have to establish that Parapurusha is Paramatma only and not Hiranyagarbha. The argument is what? Hiranyagarbha jnanam can never be given as palam of any sadhana. It is so because Hiranyagarbha jnanam does not give me any benefit at all. If at all I get any benefit after knowing Hiranyagarbha, and if I practice it, I become what? I become one with Hiranyagarbha. I get the benefit. It is like knowing the existence, but not practicing the exercises and not practicing any of them. Knowing an exercise is of no use if it is not practiced. Benefit will come only when you do exercise. Knowledge of Hiranyagarbha cannot give any palam. Knowledge of Paramatma will give moksha. It is ajnana nivrittihi, adhyasa nivrittihi, mokshasya praptihi bhavati. Therefore, param purusham ikshate can be fruitful benefit only if Paramapurusha happens to be Paramatma. Because our goal is to gain moksha. If any other meaning is given, Parapurusha ikshanam is of no use at all, because it won't give me moksha. Therefore, what is the argument now? Parapurusha is Paramatma alone. because it is presented as an object of knowledge. Where? In the Palavakyam. Where also? In the same sutra. In question. Now this is the general analysis of the sutra. Now we have to go to the word analysis. And in this sutra, there are two words. Ikshati karma vipadeshat is one word. Saha is another word. And we have to supply the word Paramatma here to complete the sutra. So we will now rearrange the sutra, including the Paramatma that we supplied. So Saha Paramatma Ikshati Karma Vipadeshat. Saha Paramatma Ikshati Karma Vipadeshat. Now we will take up the words for analysis individually. Saha, the first word. Saha means he or that. Saha means Deya Parapurushaha, the supreme person, Parapurushaha, which is presented as an object of meditation, Deya Purushaha. In the Dhyana Vakyam of Prashnopanishad, Mantra 5.5. In the Dhyana Vakyam, not in the Palavakyam portion of the mantra, but in the Dhyana Vakyam portion of the mantra, it is presented as the object of meditation, that Parapurushaha. And that Saha, that Parapurushaha, and the next word is Paramatma. That Paramatma word we supplied. That supreme person is Paramatma. So Saha, Parapurushaha, Paramatma. Paramatma eva. And not Hiranyagarbha. It's not Hiranyagarbha. This is the Pratignya Vakyam. And the reason is given in the next word. What is the word reason? Ikshati karma vyapadeshat. This is a compound word with three words. Ikshati karma vyapadeshat. The first part of this compound word is ikshati. Here ikshati refers to jnana. Ikshdatu ityartha. Ikshati. Ikshati is not here a verb. It is a particular grammatical usage actually, where the verbal form can be used as a noun. It's a nominal usage. Therefore, ikshati means here refers to jnana. And karma, karma refers to object. Therefore, ikshati karma means object of knowledge. Nyeya vishayaha. Ikshati karma means object of knowledge or nyeya vishayaha. And the next word is vyapadeshat. Vyapadeshat means presentation, the reference. You can call it a statement. Because of the presentation or because of the statement made here, then what will be the full translation of the sutra now? Because of the presentation of an object of knowledge. Okay, what is presented as an object of knowledge? That we have to supply the Parapurushaha. Therefore, finally, the meaning will be because of the presentation of Parapurusha as an object of knowledge, where it presents Parapurusha as an object of knowledge, not in the first portion, it is in the Palavakyam, later portion of Prashnopanishad, Mantra 5.5. So Parapurusha occurring in the Dhyana Vakyam is Paramatma alone, because the same Parapurusha is presented in Palavakyam as an object of knowledge. That is how we should understand. Parapurusha occurring in the Dhyana Vakyam, the first portion of the mantra, is Paramatma only, because same Parapurusha is presented in the Palavakyam as an object of knowledge. So the object of knowledge, Parapurusha, is Paramatma, and therefore the object of meditation is Parapurusha, also is Paramatma. That is Dheya Parapurushaha Paramatma Gneyatvat. Dheya Parapurushaha Paramatma Gneyatvat. This is Ikshati Karma Adhikaranam. With this, the word analysis is also over. But it doesn't end there. Shankaracharya introduces a Purvapakshi. He makes some subtle arguments, which Shankaracharya, as usual, refutes. And that is an elaborate discussion. And so we can take it up tomorrow, because it is going to be an elaborate discussion, which Shankaracharya introduces through a Purvapakshi. A subtle argument. Yo Vedadau Swara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakatilina Seyapara Samaheshwaraha Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.